Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign with crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Hi, this is Todd Gleason. A couple of times a year, I come to you and say, please pledge your financial support to the radio station that produces this program. That's WILL. It's the public radio station on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. And now's the time. It's our spring fund drive. We'd like for you to give us a call at 217-244-9455. Don't worry, I'll repeat it again later in the program. But I wanted you to get geared up for this because we've got a really big challenge from Chuck Shelby. He's going to put $500 extra on the table for us. That doesn't sound like a lot, but here at the station, it goes a very, very long ways. So gear up. Get ready for this number, 217-244-9455. A bit later in the program, I'll tell you more about the challenge and how you can pledge your financial support to Illinois Public Media for the agricultural programming that comes to you from willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
This is the April 8th edition of Commodity Week. Today on Commodity Week, something to make you go, And later in this half hour, we'll talk with Ray Jenkins. He's from Cargill's Eddyville, Iowa corn processing mill. Our panelists in studio include Aaron Curtis from Midco in Bloomington, Illinois, Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, Illinois, and Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Well, let's open today's program with this question. There were many moments this week. One of them came to me as I figured the weekly changes. Why is it Aaron Curtis did old crop beans finish the week lower week over week?
Well, I think, Todd, you're starting to see some concern with soybean demand. We heard a lot of stories this week about China, you know, rolling ahead some purchases and maybe moving some of those to South America. USDA report today, of course, showed a lower crush estimate, a lower export sale estimate. So some concern with demand. We did see export sales on Thursday morning, a little bit disappointing, down in that low single-digit number. Now, granted, we don't have to do a lot of sales, just about 5 million a week here at this point to reach our goal. But I think from a demand-driven market up to this point, we're starting to see some concern with that starting to slow down. And you look at the soybean meal aspect of the bean products, and that's probably the weakest link and helping pull beans down a little bit too.
Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing.
Yeah, I guess a couple of things in addition to what Aaron discussed there. One is I think we did see some good progress in South America. We saw some better quality beans coming out of South America. And we did also see some spreading this week, earlier in the week, as far as speculators who wanted to buy corn, sell beans, and that kind of drove the bean market down a couple of days there when the other commodities were up.
And Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities.
Well, taking into account what both those guys said, very good points. I'm going to take it for the volatility we had this week, Todd. I don't know if a penny and a half is that important at this point in time, as crazy as the markets are.
May soybeans at $14.02¾ top, a bottom at $13.60½, and a settlement price, once again, 1½ cents lower at $13.92¼. The November new crop soybeans finished higher at $13.96, up 6.75%. Lots of volatility. You're standing aside the marketplace or making any recommendations?
Well, we're beginning to look at, as we move forward into this market, the volatility is there, as I said. So what our plan is with a lot of guys, you know, there's getting to be some really cheap options. For example, in beans, an $11 November bean put is about 11 cents. And so last year we would have died for that kind of a floor. So I think there's some really good alternatives, not expensive alternatives for producers to use, Todd. So we're trying to take advantage of this run to do some things.
You agree?
Yeah, I think so. And we continue to have some targets, you know, to try to continue to scale up. I don't think you can just sit back and ignore this market at these levels. But I do think that you have to use some kind of option strategy, either get puts on, as Chuck was talking about, or if you sell grain, I think you need to defend it with some call options or some bull call spreads.
Aaron, can you delve just a bit more into the weak link that you referred to as soybean meal? What do you mean?
Well, I think, you know, you're starting to see some concern with meal demand just moving forward. Now, and we've been going through this discussion probably in the last 5 years or so when we talk about this dried distiller grain element continuing to display some soybean meal demand. And we see what the pace has been on ethanol production, and that product, the byproduct of that has to display something at this point, whether it be corn or meal moving forward. So I think we're starting to see some of that. And some concern, especially in South America, moving forward in some of the meal demand down there.
I had a question on that, in fact, this week, and I looked up some of the numbers on what that displacement might be. So for 1 kilogram, and you can use pounds, kilograms, bushels, I suppose, whatever you would like to, distillers dried grains will replace corn at a 0.57 ratio and soybean meal at a 0.43 for hog rations. I didn't actually get the dairy rations, the beef cattle rations, or the poultry rations, but we know where the hog stands. So it replaces a bit of both. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And I think it'd be hard to get two nutritionists to agree on what exactly those numbers are, Todd.
But... Well, we used Hans Stein here at the University of Illinois. He's our hog nutrition specialist.
Right, right.
And he's right. Right?
Yeah, that's right. That's
okay.
Right.
Okay, good enough. We'll just put an exclamation point on that one. All right, so what do the rest of the numbers look like? As they came out, we had WASDE figures on Friday morning for the soybeans. They didn't change them. Left the carry out at 140 million bushels. Is fine with you?
Well, I think what the USDA, what we've seen here, they've taken the stance that we get down to certain pipeline levels, they're just not going to go that any lower than that. So it wasn't shocking, but I think, you know, we saw the market take a little bit of a negative tone to start with, but we came right back towards the end of the day, so I think that was a positive encouragement.
You want to talk about the 675 and the carryout for corn?
Yeah, I guess in the end, I'm not sure whether 586, which is what the trade was expecting, or 675, what we came out with is really that important. The bottom line is we still have very tight stocks, and we still have to ration some usage. But I guess the thing that probably confused the trade the most was that it was just kind of ignored. There was no mention made of the stocks report. There was no no discussion in the commentary, and I guess that probably was, and also the price, the fact that the price actually stayed exactly the same.
Yeah, I think obviously we kind of see where the USDA wants to maybe what their pipeline number is as far as ending stocks based on the fact that they didn't lower anything today. But you still look at some of the demand numbers. You look at, you know, chick placements up again 2% this week. Ethanol numbers continue to churn along. We saw it. USDA raised ethanol usage by another 50 million here this morning. So, I mean, obviously the market's still got that demand rationing function still to do. And at this point, can't see much sign that that's slowing down.
May corn in Chicago this week from the CME Group had a high of $7.73 and a quarter, a low at $7.34. Their settlement price week over week up 32 cents. Remember, that's day and night trade. Electronic and open outcry. May settled at $7.68 in the corn pit, again 32 cents higher. December futures at $6.53, up 15.5 cents. You say that there wasn't much mention or any at all, really, in the trade when we got to Friday morning. Will they take notice at some point? And I wonder if what they might take notice of eventually is the commentary that USDA, WASDE, the World Agricultural Outlook Board, made about wheat feeding
over the coming months.
I think that's really something that was important as we went through the week prior to the report. And one of the things that you saw, of course, you saw corn futures and wheat futures come real close together. And if you look in the southeast, there's some, and Ray can comment on this later, I'm sure. I had a client down in North Carolina, for example, that sold some corn at 75 over the July, or over the May, excuse me, and wheat prices down there were something like 20 under the July for new crop wheat. So wheat is going to go into the feed rations. The question in my mind is whether some of the Midwest soft wheat can get pulled into the Southwest feeder markets. And some of the calculations we did this week, it looks like it's really pretty close when you figure the freight rates.
When you look at the problems they're having with the dry conditions in Oklahoma and out through there, I think there's a couple reasons the wheat got some attention. I think one thing we have to focus in on, though, when you're using these bushels for feed wheat, you're not going to get as much energy out of it. It's kind of like the problem we had with corn a couple years ago when the quality wasn't there. So when you couple those two together, it's nice to see them both come back around and have a positive day.
But I think we do, I mean, we do have to somehow come up with, I would say, 200 to 300 million additional bushels to fill the, you know, to get ourselves in a comfortable position on corn carryout. One of the ways that you do that, I think, is with wheat feeding.
Yeah, and Darrell Good alluded that to that in an email that I got from him earlier this morning on Friday morning. But that wheat feeding, that would have to be 200 million more bushels of wheat that's fed this year than was fed last year.
But I don't know if you're going to see that, but I think you're going to see some additional wheat feeding.
But when you go back again, the quality of that wheat, we know it's feed quality wheat, means you're not going to get the amount of energy in and out of it. So the quantity of bushels might look big, Todd, but again, you got to evaluate just how much you're going to get out of that.
But I don't know that it's going to be feed quality wheat out of the Midwest at these kind of price levels that we're currently at.
So therein lays part of the difference. If it's feed quality wheat, that's
what
a whole
price?
Different thing.
Right.
And if it's regular wheat, energy values are better, right?
Right, that's right. I think it continues to put some, going to put pressure on the weather here this spring and summer. I mean, we typically focus on Midwest weather, but I think if you read some of the USDA comments this morning, they're assuming a couple things, that Arkansas and North Carolina wheat ratings continue to stay good, and that we get some that early corn in the ground and meet some of those means in late July and early August. So that Delta weather obviously is going to move into the forefront here and be obviously important, especially as we get in that late summer time frame.
I know that on Friday there was a lot made of the $112 crude oil futures. But when you look at wheat, May futures had a high of 802 and a quarter, a low at 757 and a quarter. Settlement price there at $7.97 and a half. It led things up Friday, and it managed to finish the week 38 cents higher. July 32 and a quarter, up 36 and a quarter. So maybe the trade really did take a look at the numbers and decided.
Or
maybe not.
I think there was some spec money involved. When you saw the gold was significantly up, silver was significantly up, crude was up, the dollar was down. I think we saw some fun money come into this market as we got through the day.
I would agree with that, and I think the dollar being at some 15-month lows here is a critical point that really wasn't discussed much today.
I think that's right, and we're starting to get the press kind of on the corn side, too. I mean, obviously, we see the numbers. Goldman Sachs talking about 860 corn here in their three-month window here, and we continue to read the stories in the Wall Street Journal, so obviously that continues to help drive the thing.
I think one of the key points here, just a minute, Todd, to go back to the wheat feeding, and from a our listener standpoint is that they understand that the people that are out there that are using corn are not just sitting here waiting to see, well, are we going to be able to get to July and find out that we got enough corn. I mean, they're making plans. They're trying to figure out ways that they can substitute DDGs, wheat, other ways that they can get by, because it's no secret that we got a short supply of corn.
Okay, so when we take all of that into consideration, the question really is old crop 768 in that range, which is contract highs. We had, a new contract high settlement price this week, too, on a weekly trade. Is that high enough, or is there more room to bump up this market in a longer-term sense? I'm not talking about a spike for a day or a day and a half, but something that's longer-term.
I think so. What we're going to watch, as long as you look at the ethanol production every week and it stays strong, you look at exports and they stay strong, you're not cutting anybody off, as all of us have talked about. So, yeah, it can go higher.
Yeah, I think ethanol is still kind of running the show here, Todd. Crude oil continues to move higher, like you mentioned. And, you know, we saw an increase again today in the ethanol usage, and some talk in the industry that can still move a little higher. So I think ethanol is still the key. As long as those guys continue to be on the positive side, I think we offer some pretty good support to this market.
And from each of you, would you be a new crop corn seller at this point? We'll start with you, Chuck Shelby.
Yes, we'd sell some, but be defensive.
I would agree with that. I think you got to continue to scale in small increments as you move higher in this market, but you have to have some defensive calls against it.
I think that's I would agree too. Continue to reward the market, but be prepared for something, some kind of protection against some kind of summer rally.
Hey, if you get the opportunity, dial this number right now. It's 217-244-9455. If this program makes a difference for you, please do pledge your financial support. We're supported in large part by your contributions. We'll take Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. Just dial the number 217-244-9455. If 50 of you do this week and next week for Commodity Week, Risk Management will step up with an extra $500. Chuck Shelby is in studio with us from Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Chuck, thank you so much for stepping up to the plate. I know we've got a long ways to go. We're starting today, right now. We're hoping that people will dial in with their financial support. You know, I gotta say to each of the three of you that are in studio today, to Aaron and to Bill and Chuck, thank you so much for all you've done for us and for all that you do for everybody. I don't know that most of the listeners realize really what happens, because you all drive in to the studio. You come from Bloomington, Aaron. Chuck, you come from Lafayette. You're on your way back home to Downs, yeah. But you're here in town. And in the case of those guys that are coming in, Chuck, you'll spend, if you just do the math and say it's 50 cents a mile, you'll spend $90. I shouldn't remind him of that, but he'll spend 90 bucks to come in and do this show. And you all volunteer your time and your expertise, and it really happens that way. It's just we don't trade money. We do the markets, and I think it's really important that our listeners understand that, and that on the flip side, what we really need from them is for them to be involved in our programming a little bit more than they are sometimes in other types of programming, because really, we share all of the expenses, relatively speaking. You guys volunteer your time. I get paid by the taxpayers, so the taxpayers are paying my bill part of the time. The listeners to the program pay for about 40% of the expenses, too, that make this program up.
Todd, I always feel like I get some value as I come in here and discuss things with some of my cohorts on the panel, and I think surely the listeners get that value, too.
I hope so. And, Chuck, Risk Management Commodities has put in $500 on the line this time around. If we get 50 calls this week and next week total, And we really thank you, but that means, well, right now we have to have people dial in, and they need to start dialing now. 217-244-9455 is the number to call. It's really simple and easy to do. A lot of you have done it in the past. If you have, I know things are volatile. I know, frankly, that you're a little scared that it all might break apart. I don't know that you're scared because you probably have locked in a profit for the year with your crop insurance, but you're scared that it might break apart at some point. And you listen to the program to find out when that point is. We're a little scared, too. We think it might all break it apart some point as well, so we need your help. And if you dial right now, 217-244-9455, your pledge will get counted towards that 50 that will be put in place by Chuck Shelby and Risk Management Commodities. Chuck, thank you so much for doing that.
And I think, Todd, that our listeners are really fortunate in this part of the country to be able to have Will Radio and have the ability to have. There's nobody else that can put together this amount of analysis, the different views that come to us. And I think our producers out there have been very generous over the time. And this is one of the most fantastic times, I think. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be in agriculture. So when we look at the benefit that we get from Will Radio as producers, and I know when I get out in the tractor, I kind of lose a little bit of touch. It's one thing to be in the office and watch the quotes, but, you know, I certainly rely on listening to you guys and And as Bill said, it's great to get with the other guys that do the same thing that I do here. So I would hope that producers would, more so than ever, donate here and help continue this great thing we have going in this part of the country.
You know, Dave Dickey and I like to say that it's always about the service for us. It's always about the service. We try to say it's never about the money. It's always about the service, and that's the way we think about it. But once in a while, the management says, hey, wait a second, it really is about the money sometimes. But the money is only enough to make things work. It really is, and we really need your help to make that happen. Again, that phone number is 217-244-9455. If you use any of our services, including our online service, please do dial in at that number. Once again, it's 217-244-9455. It makes a real difference. It's quick. It's simple. It's easy. Visa, MasterCard, Discover, American Express. You can just write a check if you want to and send it to us. But you have to dial in now, or if you happen to be online, make sure you hit that big red button that says Will Pledge up in the corner of willag.org. That's at willag.org. Either way, I thank you very, very much for your pledge, your support, for listening to Commodity Week. I hope the program makes a big difference for you. And this week, thanks so much to Chuck Shelby and Risk Management Commodities for all they do.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This is the April 8th edition of Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. In studio with us, Aaron Curtis of Midco out of Bloomington, Illinois, Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities from Lafayette, Indiana, and Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing from Champaign, Illinois. On the phone line, Ray Jenkins. He's with Cargill's Eddyville, Iowa Corn Processing Mill. Thanks so much for taking the time and spending it with us this afternoon. Ray, we do appreciate that. Tell me, and remind us again what it is that you process corn into at your mill.
We do a variety of things here. Our largest product line is high fructose corn syrup. We also have fermentation processes for Cargill here that make citric acid, across the fence neighbors that make amino acids, food ingredients, and we also have a small ethanol facility.
And how far radius do you draw from?
We buy corn normally within 75 miles of the plant.
And you still be able to get new supplies from bins that belong to farmers?
Although our area of the state had a poor crop last year. One of our local crop districts here had a sub-100 bushel yield in some counties that only had yields in the 70s. So we're only dealing with about 75% the normal size of crop, and we've had to expand our origination area to the north by another 25 to 40 miles this year.
We all know that the supplies are tight here. How concerned are you out there, say, in August or the first part of September, if this new crop gets planted a little bit slower, about sourcing corn for that time window?
Very nervous. As a person who lived through the near-death experience of 1996, that's the big story right now about how much of this old crop do you want to buy, and do you want to overbuy into September? And right now we're waiting to see how planting progresses here in early April, see what the prospects are for some September 10 through 20 harvest window.
Ray, we've heard some talk this spring here about the quality of the corn from the 2010 crop, and maybe there's some efficiencies there that may help use less corn for some of the processes and that than maybe the 2009 crop. Are you seeing that, or can you discuss that?
I think that really plays out best for the livestock guy, that they've got the better efficiency. In most processing businesses, you're going to fill a steep tank and then process that into corn or some product. Now, if you've got higher density corn and maybe a little more starch, you're going to get a little more product out of each steep. So in reality, the dry mill ethanol plant just ends up getting more gallons produced. And our starch yields are up a little bit here at our wet mill. So it's really not that you're going to use less corn. You're going to get more output product.
Ray, we know you're in a heavy ethanol-producing state out there, and, of course, we all know what's going on with our government and the budgetal concerns. What kind of conversations are you having or are you hearing about as we move more towards the end of the year about the ethanol import tariffs and blender's credit, and how big of an impact will that have for Iowa?
Well, first off, put me in the camp that was very surprised that the volumetric excise tax credit was extended at the full 45 cents for a year. I just did not see that happening in that fashion. It does feel like that is really on the chopping block, whether it's a complete sunset or something that transpires over 2 to 3 years. I think most people in the industry are preparing for less money in that tax credit.
You mentioned, Ray, that you had to expand your area by 25 to 40 miles to the north. Is there a rule of thumb, relatively speaking, by how much your cash bid has to increase for a mile or for every 5 miles that you go out or 10 miles?
No, this has been an odd year because of the crop shortfall. We've had to be pretty defensive and say typically if in a place that grinds 7.5 million corn a month that you typically want to own 5 million. Well, maybe the goal now is that you want to own 6 or 6.5 million on day one. So it's more a matter of kind of meeting those targets. And a lot of these purchases came from large commercials up in that particular area rather than expanding our farmer base.
How hard is it to acquire that much grain? I mean, you obviously have worked at it, but have you got it all done?
My boss would say that if you're willing to pay too much, you can always buy corn. it's gone pretty well. We're at that point where we're looking at that late summer situation, and I think a lot of people in the processing industries, they wanted to see what the quarterly grain stocks report was going to be, because that was going to be the key driver in what the July SAP and July December spreads did. So they didn't want to get too out of sync there, but now that we've seen that the number was somewhat was bullish, you know, everybody now is interested in buying late summer coverage, but the people that have the corn to sell are also bullish on their side of the table, too. So everybody's kind of standing there looking at each other, and I don't know how much business has actually been done yet.
Would your plant consider shutting down for a while if it becomes extremely difficult if the crop is late, or what method would you take if the crop is late or short out there for a time window in, let's say, September?
Well, our facility, 85% of our capacity here is food-oriented type production. So you're going to do some pretty extraordinary things to keep the place in corn. In 1996, we were getting corn by truck from 350 miles southwest of Eddyville at one time. So you'll do some pretty heroic things for short periods of time.
Ray, if you were to estimate roughly the amount of the percent of old corn in commercial hands versus farmer hands, what do you think? I would guess 90% of it's probably already in the commercial hands.
I think that's a fair assessment, although the oddity in our particular area is that we feel like 75% of our farmers, because of the shortness of the crop last year, are 98% sold out. But we have small pockets of individuals that still have sizable quantities of corn, say 50 to 100,000 bushels per account. So there's still people that they're going to be there to sell you something, but it's getting into a smaller and smaller pool of individuals.
Yeah, Ray, with a lot of the talk, obviously, about growing up a good crop this year and a lot of importance based on what the USDA is telling us and what the price is telling us, what are your crop conditions looking like, or excuse me, growing conditions out there looking like, and how long before you see some planters rolling out in your area?
Well, they tell me the ground is working as good as they've seen it. We just had an inch of rain in about the southern half of the state in the last 24 hours. There were some very limited planting activity in the last 96 hours in the southeast quadrant of the state of Iowa, and also some planting in far northeastern Missouri. So, especially down in the Burlington area, between Burlington and Ottumwa, there's been some corn planted this week.
You're listening to Commodity Week. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Now's the time to dial this number. If with your pledge of financial support, the number is 217-244-9455. Chuck Shelby is in studio with us. His company, Risk Management Commodities, has stepped up to the plate and said if 50 of you call today and next Saturday for Commodity Week and say, I'm listening to Commodity Week, make sure you tell them that. They will pledge another $500 to the station. It will go a long ways. And if you're listening online, please step up as well. Ray Jenkins, I know you listen online sometimes to the program, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Several times a week I try to get the analyst flavor for what's going on, and listening to Commodity Week is one of my favorite early Saturday morning activities.
All right. Thank you so much, and thank you so much for being a guest today. We do appreciate that.
Thank you.
Ray Jenkins is with Cargill at their Eddyville plant. A very quick final word from our panelists in studio. Chuck Shelby, we'll start with you.
Please send in that those pledges. We're happy to send in that $500, Todd.
All right. Bill Mayer.
Now that the reports are over, the focus will change to planting and planting weather.
And Aaron Curtis.
I agree with Chuck. Get on that phone and make your donation, because what they do here at WLL is sure important, and especially in these volatile times.
Thank you to all of our panelists in studio and to you for listening and for calling in. The number 217-244-9455. If you're online, visit willag.org and pledge your financial support up in the right-hand corner. I'm Todd Gleason. Have a good week.